multi-platform, multi-language support and services that runs across the dynamic languages, the open source dynamic languages in particular. We run on quite a few platforms. And do the ActiveTickle you're probably most aware of, and the Tickle Dev Kit. On top of that, we have a similar thing for Perl and the Perl Dev Kit. Then we have IDEs and other things. The up feature is distinctly not working in this. So here we have the big overview history of Tickle. You can see the start, the time at Berkeley, the time at Point 3 is the time at Sun. Then we have Scriptix being formed, and that time in here. They were acquired by Interwoven, and I mean, it's definitely in an open source way, but ActiveState is the primary provider of support for corporations, and we've been running it since then. So here we are, the history of Tickle. You're here. We're in New Orleans. Oh, no, we're not. Okay, so we need to shift this stuff over. So now where are we? Aha, we're in Portland. So you see in that time, we've moved from 8.5 in March for its first alpha to we're still in alpha. There's a few things that are huge differences in the 8.5 between now and then, and I'll discuss some of them. But it is still an alpha. Alpha, of course, means feature creep mode, not necessarily a value in the quality. There are a few things, major new features, that have destabilized some other areas, though. And you see in that same time, we've gone from 0.7 to 0.11 of 8.4. So there are several major, several patch-level releases for 8.4 in that time frame. So what was it? What was happening last year? New Orleans, when it wasn't underwater, we had a great time. 8.4.7 was the major version. It just receives further stabilization. It's basically become the base standard for all other distributions, for those ones that included in the Linux distros primarily. And that was, you know, several years in development and has a lot of enhancements. So what did we talk about? Well, we talked about the food. The food, bar none, if you weren't in New Orleans, you really missed out. Then there were the hand grenades, and boy, did they hit me hard. To be honest, I had to write these two in there because I couldn't remember much of anything else after the hand grenades. But we did talk a lot about TK and 8.5 in general and some other features about that. So the Tickle Core team, it was formed in August 2000 with 14 charter members that were elected by the community. These are the members here. In the frog eye green color, you see myself and Andreas. We work at ActiveState. So you see that there is the bulk of people are out. And actually, all of these people, for people are always curious, are they still working on Tickle or not? The answer is an unequivocal yes, at varying levels. Mo DeYoung still released recently Tickle Blend, does a lot of Java Tickle interaction stuff. Donald Fellows is here. You'll be hearing from Mark Harrison, works at Pixar. And you see him pop up in Tickle Core every once in a while. Richard Hipp is here. Carl Lehnbauer is semi-retired after making a good chunk of money off of his ISP. Michael McLennan now does nanotechnology at Purdue and doesn't spend as much time in the development side, but he still loves Tickle and uses it. Jan Neitmans, not quite actually sure what he does, but he pops in on occasion and gives us some insight. John Osterhout now at Electric Cloud, and he plays CEO or CTO, and basically he's a pointy-haired boss now. But the group that he has does use Tickle under the covers of their Electric Cloud engine. George Howlett is still doing development work on BLTs and using it in the CAD field. Don Porter's here. Brent Welch works at Panassus, which is a network attached storage company, and they have some use of Tickle there. Jim Ingham's at Apple and plays around. He's in their GDB group, but still plays around with it. So in 2001, Kevin Kenny was added on. And last year, we introduced Miguel. So we're now at 16 members. Unfortunately, due to time constraints, Michael has had to resign because he said basically he still loves it, but he's in the nanotechnology field now. When it gets to programming, he's using Tickle, but nanotechnology is a hot new field, and it takes a lot of his time. But we're still at 16 members, so we can't go without. So I'd like to announce that Joe English has been added to the Tickle Core team, and he's hiding in the crowd. So Joe is most noted for his work on Tile, which will be integrated as TTK into 8.5. Does a lot of work as well on X11, making the window manager interaction stuff behave better, working on with the newer desktop standards there. So a little bit about the Tickle core team, how things change. You have the TIP pages. TIP is Tickle Improvement Proposal, and there's the URL for it there. They guide and document development on the core. So they focus on the new features, not bug fixes and things like that, but really new features. There are currently 258 of them, divided into process, informational, and project tips. They range anywhere from small add this single option to this widget to really major core functionality changes. And all the TCT discussion essentially occurs on the Tickle-Core mailing list. So if you're interested, it is a publicly open mailing list. All of the core team members and the maintainers are on there. So the Tickle core team actually doesn't really do all of the coding. The Tickle TK maintainers do that. And they oversee very specific areas as defined in two informational tips, 16 and 23. And their purpose is to assist. They are not solely responsible for all of the code in those areas. But when bugs come up, for example, in the bug database in their area, they're automatically assigned. And they'll bounce it around because sometimes they're not they're more familiar with a particular platform or not. And they make sure docs are updated and things like that. So anyone is willing to be a core maintainer of an area, and you don't necessarily need to know the code in that area, but you need to be willing to know the code. So the current maintainers, as defined in the two tips that we have, are these folks here. And they run, across a wide variety of companies and fields and familiarities. And you will see that there is overlap with the Tickle core team, because, of course, we're on the core team because we're interested in the core. But there's many other people here, and they have all full commit access to the core and do make changes. So a little bit about where to find all your Tickle TK information online. Tickle.tk, it's the official homepage. For development, all the development really occurs at SourceForge. They provide a very nice set online. They're not necessarily the best of breed for each individual feature, but when you group them all together, then it does make quite a nice solution for online hosting of development stuff. So the bug and patch databases are there, mailing lists are hosted there, the CVS repositories are there, and all the file serving for the source packages. The wiki itself, wiki.tickle.tk, that's all the community contributed and maintained material. So that's a fully open and editable wiki. Anybody can wander in and add or fix content there. I just want to note that there are still references to Scriptix. I did this check last week and did a little linkscriptix.com on Google and had 1,250 hits. So some of these are probably, you know, more than half of these are dead tree pages, but there's still people out there linking to the old Scriptix site, though it's been gone and away for quite a long time now. So a little bit about Tickle at ActiveState. Little history of ActiveState first. They were established in 1997. Their current motto is dynamic tools for dynamic languages. It used to be programming for the people. That had some great socialist background, but corporations didn't respond the same to that. So they used to be Perl specific, started off with the active Perl, porting it to Windows. Now they really are cross language and cross platform. Andreas and I started there in 2001, essentially following the acquisition of Ajuba at Interwoven for myself. And they do have some other people on staff that are familiar with Tickle, either they used it previously or they still use it in some respect. And there's essentially a wealth of scripting knowledge there. So when there's core Python and core Perl people there, and when you knock those heads together, you can get some really interesting working opportunities to work together. They were acquired by Sophos in September 2003. Sophos is a security company, anti-spam and antivirus. But ActiveState remains as a separate division, wholly independent in many respects, and it is still dedicated to tools and languages. So what about Tickle specifically? ActiveState provides the community with a host of things. We do a lot of improvements on the open source core. I'm probably the one man lucky enough to get paid to primarily make patches to the core, update things, and do wholly new development. We do host the Tickle Developer Exchange. It is community maintained, but the box happens to sit in the ActiveState server room. Enterprise, and these audio streams are now running through the ActiveState server room. The enterprise support infrastructure, so if you're a company that requires support for Tickle or a host of extensions, we do customized support contracts for all that kind of stuff, and professional services, the standard consulting, contracting stuff, and the high quality development tools. So in addition to ActiveTickle, which is the batteries included and completely free, we have the Pro Studio, which includes Tickle Dev Kit, Komodo, which is a pretty fancy IDE, and there's a link there for just all the various things that we do. And by the way, we did open source Expect for Windows earlier this year, so I'll mention that again in a second. So going through a little history lane, Tickle Dev Kit 2.0. This looks great. This looks so 2003 with our old slide format and everything. This is a little older programming for the people, the big gears. I love those images. Our new look. This is an earlier shot. You will see we have our lovely critters. Here's the frog, Komodo for the IDE. Perl gets a gecko, and for Python, if you end up finding some part for the Python stuff, it's a little Python. And the Tickle Cookbook is just another feature that's on the ActiveState Programmer Network. Anyone can submit recipes to this, and we recently added a Tickle in Java section by request, and they've been filling up recipes in there for if you use Tickle Blend. Since we're going over retrospectives, I thought we'd look at the Tickle Developer Exchange, and this is what most people are probably familiar with seeing. This is the screenshot that I used last year, and it's got a lot of junk on that page. It wasn't being maintained as well as it should have been, and it was getting to look a little dated. So here's the new look. It was updated just 2 weeks ago. We have a much cleaner site. Its purpose has also been clarified in terms of, first of all, I'd like to thank Mark Roseman, who headed up that project. He's here somewhere, hiding in the back. And there is the, he had a project forum site that he had set up for this purpose. And just go ahead, check it out, give us your feedback at that link there. That does happen to be me. If anyone else would like to be webmaster, just tell me. So the Tickle Developer Exchange, it's still the primary site, but it sort of got a new focus. It's the formal front end, because for a lot of people, you know, you want to go, the wiki is kind of confusing, and it's great in a lot of respects, but you want to learn about Tickle. That's not where you want to end up to start with. And the Tickle Developer Exchange serves that purpose. It has the downloads and links to the various source packages and gives you a little bit of the structured history and such, and has all the advocacy stuff on there. Because it's sort of changed over time, we're open to a new name. You know, it's kind of boring to call it just like the Tickle site. I mean, if you go to python.org or perl.org, they kind of have, you know, use Perl or something like that. But if someone has a grand new name, then we'd be open to that. Otherwise, we'll just be sticking with the Developer Exchange. Just to point out that the wiki really is the primary community discussion forum. So, a little bit about Active Tickle. It's currently at 8.4.11.2. It is based on the 8.4.11 core. As you noted in the history, that was released in June. This was released in October. So this is actually, since we started zero, the third release based on 8.4.11. Each one gets its own little changes. This will be on your CD. Hello. It's enhanced with many, many popular extensions. Exotical, Linkertickle, TickleX. You'll notice there's a few new ones in here. Exotical was added in the last year. SQLite is new, I think maybe even in this release. There's enhancements to TKLib in this release and various other things. And, you know, the extension list just goes on and on and on, and it kind of reminds me of this, you know, sort of scrolling credits. And they go on and on and on. And that actually was all the packages you get. That was actually a trimmed list of the packages, by the way. So there are quite a few in there. It is basically the standard batteries included distribution for users. Of course, StarKits are most commonly used for deployment. This is really great for development, and it's very easy to download. It's available for lots and lots of platforms now. The ones in bold here, AIX, Mac OS X, Solaris, well, specifically the x86, they're all new, added in the last year. And brand new for 8.4.11.2, the Windows build is fully threaded. So right down to the core, it includes the thread extension. And we do have other platforms available. They're provided in our enterprise editions when it comes to things like 64-bit and such. They might have, you know, other peculiarities, so we do reserve those for enterprise customers. So as you saw, that monster list of extensions, we do actually have a code repository in the works. I've said this year in and year out. This time we actually might be getting a lot closer, and part of that is due to changes and tips in the core, stuff about StarKits and Tickle modules and such. There is a BOF. It's tomorrow, scheduled for Thursday from 8 to 9, where we'll be discussing what the possibilities are there. So we also have an 8.5 release. It's based on a pre-release of 8.5a4. It was also released just this month and will be on your CD. The important thing to note is that this release comes with almost no extensions. That's because everything in 8.4, I haven't found an extension yet in 8.4, in the 8.4 release, that does not work in 8.5. That is the magic of stubs. That is the point of stubs. And we want to make use of that. The other reason for that is Before 8.5 goes final, I plan to have a code repository, and then I don't have to have that long scrolling list of extensions in there, maintaining them as they get updated, and some of them don't change for quite a while, but we're building them all the time. And basically, I'm going to push the repository by pushing an 8.5 that has almost nothing in it. So it is experimental. It is for bleeding edge users. It is essentially meant to be an enhancement to the 8.4 distribution. Download 8.4. If you want 8.5, you can download it on top. Your wish.exe or wish user local bin wish or whatever will still be 8.4. Wish 8.5 will only be the versioned number. It is available again for all the platforms, and all the platforms are fully threaded, which means on Unix you will hit the pthread fork issues that are fundamental pthread issues. So hopefully we'll have those fixed by 8.5.0. And as I said, might rely heavily on a code repository. A little bit about the spec for Windows. We released it under the Tickle license in August of this year. It had been a commercial product from ActiveState, work that we had built under contract. And it's actually one of the many open source projects that ActiveState has contributed to. Various things like, obviously the Tickle work we do, but we made the OS X port of Scintilla this year as well. That was released into open source, and several other things that we do. But basically, about Expect for Windows, it was a branch. It's a complete fork off of the original Expect Unix source base, completely reorganized to sort of, the Expect source base is kind of the same as it's been for 10 years, and the thing amazingly all still works, but we cleaned it up since now it had multiple platforms. It now had a generic, a Unix, and a Windows directory. And this version is fully 8.4 compatible. It's stubs enabled. You can drop it into star kits, that kind of stuff. So a little bit about the Active Tickle Pro Studio, formerly ASPN Tickle. And we introduced that in 2001. It's the professional tools, as I mentioned before. I'll zoom through these product bits a little bit faster. We can get back to the technical bits. But a little bit about TDK 3.2. It's new since last time. Revamped with the updated tools are basically all new in 3.0. What's essentially new in 3.2 is that we've made it version independent from ActiveTickle. It used to be that Tickle Dev Kit always shipped with its own version of ActiveTickle, and you had your base kits and all other sorts of things in there. We moved all the base kits into ActiveTickle so that every time you download one of those, it has its own version. One of the main reasons for that is people were finding, there could be some, very subtle bug that might be introduced in something that would affect their base kits. How do they move back and forth without changing Tickle Dev Kit? And you can do that all now. Some of the other tools it has, coverage tools, Windows service stuff, all the wrapper stuff, inspector cross-reference tool, which gives you, it's kind of like a C-scope for Tickle, and the VFS Explorer for examining your star kits. Komodo 3.5, it's currently in beta for release. It has a brand new Mac OS X port, a native port, not one that runs under X11. It adds Ruby support for those of you that might actually be cross-language users. Has a lot of user interface updates, and it uses GTK2 now on X11, which allows it to use anti-alias fonts and such, performance improvements. Basically, Komodo is the most advanced editor for Tickle, bar none. It has the most advanced set of features. It's not scriptable in Tickle yet, but it does have a lot of code assist features that are really useful for new and advanced users. This is the old look of 2.5, the new look of 3.0. And if anyone's curious to see that on OS X actually running, I do have an OS X laptop with me that has it running. We are continuing the development of Tickle tools. we have a 3.x in development that basically is going to follow on. We're going to have our own native OS X port of the Tickle DevKit tools. And we're going to be doing theme styling on all the platforms. We're currently about 80% done with that work. And that's using Tile and TTK features in all of the Tickle DevKit tools. So there's, you know, we do it for two reasons. One, so that our tools look better, but it's sort of eating your own dog food. I need to make sure that all these features are going to work for everybody else. So as I go through porting all this stuff and porting to Mac OS X, I'm making quite a few bug fixes in Tile and in the core on OS X specifically that make sure that it works the way it should work to make an application that just looks native. There's a GUI Builder 4 on the drawing board. GUI Builder is part of Komodo IDE, and it'll have alternative geometry management, user-defined widget sets, and themed widget support. Since, you know, building user interfaces in classic TK is not the same as building it in a completely themed widget set, and you need something with a slightly different focus. Again, it allows us to hone in and understand, well, what the heck it is or where we're doing with the core anyway. And the primary focus at active state for most of our energies right now is in TK. So the Tickle plugin, this was originally I was going to show the Tickle plugin on Friday, but you guys all saw this, so I don't need to go into here. I could go the obligatory demos, which I'll skip at this point. Get into the community. So the Ticklers Wiki now has approximately 7,600 content pages. And the difference between content pages and the actual page count on the wiki, which is something up above 14,000, is that the content pages actually have something useful on them, probably. So that's still quite a lot of useful, interesting content, and it covers a lot of stuff. Could probably use a little bit more organization. There is some sort of standard or, you know, kind of de facto standard attempts to categorize things, but it can still be a little bit confusing. I often make use of the search feature in the wiki for that reason. And there's the wiki chat, which gets constant traffic, and it is HTTP-based with, I thought I had the link in there. That's wiki.tickle.tk/tkchat. Gives you information on the wiki chat. The developer exchange, there's the official URL. There's a backup URL, because sometimes those folks out in Tokelau, their DNS server doesn't always work. The Tickle URL continues to provide weekly news. This is an email update. It covers information, general information about what might be released, interesting discussions on compiling Tickle. And it's basically, it comes out once a week. It's a great thing to subscribe to. And you can get that either by being on the Tickle announce list or seeing the drdobbs.com. Oh, it's not there anymore?
That's why there's not a link on the main website.
Bad me.
Okay.
There's also quite a few extension updates that have been updated in the last year. So a little about 8.4, which is, as I said, pretty much the standard. So this hasn't really changed at all. It did get the virtual file system. It had a bunch of command updates. It had the 64-bit integer support, even on 32-bit systems added, and improved some stuff with TK. Had a huge performance improvement over a lot of stuff, where it received near better than 8.0, even though it was now Unicode and thread-aware. You can hit areas, especially in things like the regular expression engine, that are slower, but overall it's faster. And it did receive new widgets. Most of the widgets had updated. Most of the other widgets got updated features, compound buttons, and some other stuff that really aided in making some polished-looking UIs. Unfortunately, not with themed widgets yet, but we're getting to that. 8.5. So 8.5 is currently in very active development. There's a lot of changes going in. Basically, every day it seems that there's something new is committed there. The release schedule is not yet finalized, but it's targeted roughly to be out by spring. There are a lot of tips that are targeting 8.5, and if I can do this, 81 of them already accepted or final. So that means 81 distinct new features. As I mentioned, some of them are small and some of them are huge. There's 57 that are still sort of in the wings. Not all of those are actually active. That's just the open count of draft tips targeting 8.5. Some of them should be subsumed by other tips, and some of them aren't necessarily great ideas and are just left in draft status. But several of them are still open, and I'll go over those in a bit. But community input is very much important. You see by the number of tips, a lot of those, at least half of those, are written by people that are not a core maintainer at all. So it's very important that we get all that input from the community. So a little bit about what's new in 8.5. There's the dict data structure. This is sort of first level object form of array. There are new expert operators, my favorite being ni. The double star is the exponentiation. In and ni, it being not in, are the replacements for essentially lsearch dash exact. So if you want to say string item in string list, dollar list, as I suppose my old basic background. And min and max are now proper expert operators taken from, well, the idea stolen from TickleX, but completely rewritten using other new features in 8.5 for expert. We've extended lsort, lsearch, and added lrepeat and lassign. Lassign, people familiar with TickleX, it's basically the same. Lrepeat being list repeating and other features there. Namespace improvements, particularly namespace ensembles. You can now use this expand a list operator. So if you put that in front of something, it basically gets rid of a vowel. And I always harped on the fact that expand is a waste of 6 characters to me. So in active Tickle, you don't have to use any of that. You can just use the 2 braces together and empty, and that works just fine. And maybe everyone will see the light and realize writing expand all the time is a waste of time. Completely revamped clock command, courtesy of Kevin Kenny. It has a completely new parser. It's ensemble-based. It improves a lot of the localization. It is updated for crazy changes in daylight savings time. It will tell you everything about the Gregorian and calendar. You can check back. And it's also 2038 impervious. Big noms. So this is the result of 2 to the 1024th. And I guarantee that every single bit of that is hand verified by Kevin Kenny. Because I can't do that in my head. I let Kevin do it himself. And thanks to Kevin for basically spearheading that effort. And Don Porter has been working a lot recently on the performance aspects, because of course you toss in big nums and things will slow down. The work now is, again, we had the wide integers in 8.4 and people wanted to go a little bit larger than that, so we decided to go a lot larger. But in doing that, we have to make sure that we try and keep things in the high-performance native integer boundaries as much as possible.
So let's have some applause on Kevin. He's listening.
Oh, Kevin's listening. There is a new chan command to consolidate all the channel operations. It also adds a couple of things like chan truncate for truncation of channels. But basically, all of the fconfigure, fcopy, EOF, fblocked, all these various things have all been consolidated into the chan command to make it a lot easier to find what's going on. And that basically also is itself a namespace ensemble, just using the new features where we can. And more interestingly, coming into there will be 2 tips that are going to expose channel transforms and reflection. And those are basically VFS features that are essentially what Tickle VFS is, a very thin bit of C that exposes that, and we'll be exposing that at the Tickle level for 8.5. No, it does not deprecate. The old commands still exist.
It doesn't deprecate. It's different.
other words, are we moving?
I don't know. I think it officially did deprecate them as of 8.5, but there's no plans to remove them in any 8.x at this time. They would probably become undocumented in 9.0, but even then still exist. Tickle's pretty amazing in that you can still run the 10-year-old code and it runs just fine, which other scripting languages can't say. But you can also take advantage of a lot of new features if you wanted. So we don't need to go willy-nilly breaking currently working functional code. Tickle modules we're using the .tm prefix. It's all about package handling. You'll hear more about that at the repository buff. It's intended to improve long-term packaging opportunities. There's an enhanced return dash code. Could I have some water? Thanks. Enhanced return dash code, making pure Tickle control structures a lot more powerful than they were previously. So in the 8.5, themed widgets. Yay! Thanks to Joe English for spearheading this work. And this is all based off of his work done in Tile. Thanks. We will be finalizing the integration of this week. So it is not in the 8.5 that you'll find on your CD, but in 1 month it should be in the core. And we'll make a new release then of at least of ActiveTickle, probably a new source release as well. That would be 8.5, 8.4. Important thing to note is that there are complements of most of the classic TK widgets, but there are also some new widgets. The notebook, the combo box, the progress bar, and the separator. Everybody knows what these are, and everybody's known them for several years, and it's about time TK actually had core ones. And there are also some, they're basically enhancements to existing widgets and dialogues as well in 8.5. Peering and smooth scrolling of text widgets, tri-state check buttons, and you have the new pane window options that Brian mentioned before. There's XFT support in X11, which provides you anti-alias fonts. There's enhancements to the WM command, more top-level attribute control, X11 attributes, and some others. Photo images for icons have gone in. There's also some photo image enhancements. You can do cubic Bezier curves on the canvas now. Or you actually have alternate smoothing functions now for canvas line and polygon items. You have improved grid geometry management with row column configure by widget name, which is a lot handier than remembering which widget went into which column cell. And overall grid anchoring. There's also a percent D for virtual event user data. So here's a picture of Tile at work. You have the standard look on each of these. Here's OS X. This is a little older OS X shot, but we can even get the pinstriping and everything now, as those who were in my tutorial yesterday saw. But there's the standard look and there's the styled look on the three different platforms. So a little bit about TTK. It's a revamp of the standard TK look and feel. And the only way to really revamp that in modern operating systems is to go themed. So there's a new look for widgets on X. And this one's the Windows screenshot. But actually, the X widgets also are taking more of a Windows look. And there's improved bindings behavior as well. In the themed TK widgets in particular, they're the non-default alternative. That means that the top-level button command still exists, but there will be now a TK colon colon button and a TTK colon colon button. And TTK means themed TK, and so all the themed widgets will be going in there. Over the long run, TK and TTK are complementary. They are not mutually exclusive. There are still places where I have done updates of half a dozen applications now, and the old classic frame is still useful in a few cases, and the old classic button is still useful in a few cases, things like that, where the themed widgets are not always appropriate. So having both of those available will actually make TK, in my opinion, the idea, but it's the design. So how would you do printing support requires some design. The drag and drop is just missing OS X implementation. So
the reason I was asking is because one of the things that keeps popping up fairly constantly is UDP.
UDP? Yeah, the thing that always keeps responding to the UDP one as well, exactly how would you fit that into the existing core channel infrastructure? So, which doesn't think well in unordered fashion. But if someone wants to write a tip up on that, there is not one in currently. So what are the future directions? The core is guided by community input, as always. Anyone can write a tip. Anyone can affect change. Anyone can volunteer. Anyone can help. Anyone can commit if you want to pick up and be a core maintainer. 8.5 is now in development, and it's looking for assistance at all levels. So as I'm saying, it's not just the C level, but there's stuff you could do in Tickle. There's demos that need to be written. There's that great out-of-box experience, which we'd like to provide for the core, for other users to bring more people into the fold. A lot of people just don't realize it can be as easy as it is, and that's because we don't have the requisite level set of tutorials and things that make them aware of that. So we're always interested in what issues are most pressing. We get that from community input, and as I've said before, ActiveState does remain committed to Tickle. We are continue to work with all levels of the Tickle community. And we're building more Tickle-related products, and we're currently focusing on the TK revitalization, which will be manifested in 8.5 TTK. That's it. So, right at my hour. Any questions?
Regarding Tickle logics, what is hybrid versus stork
referred to? Right, so everyone knows what a stork is, right? That's what a Tickle object currently is. A Tickle object always has to be at least one thing. So I can create an integer, and I'm an integer. The minute I reflect that on the screen, maybe I put it into a label, then I'm an integer in a string. But if I ask for the list representation of that, the string will remain, but all of a sudden I become a list as my internal representation. So the mantra usually is everything is a string in Tickle. Well, the truth is everything has a string representation, but it's not always a string. I can create a whole plethora of objects, and they will never ever see string representation in Tickle in a large program, which is where, of course, you get your performance and such post 8.0. A Hydra would have multiple legs. You know, each part of me would be, this is my list, this is my integer representation, if it's possible. Integers can also be doubles. So, you know, you have your multiple heads representation for those things that are compatible. Now, of course, if you were to go from being some sort of integer to some sort of tuple, then you would chop off the one head and have a new one pop out there. But some tuple form, like a dict, could also be compatible with a list, because lists have dicts have list representations, but currently you can incur shimmering because you can only do the stork model, and one leg always has to be string and the other leg is an internal representation, and you have to be one or the other. You can be both, but one is stuck at being a string, so that's the limitation. Yeah.
Any chance of Komodo supporting snit syntax at any time?
Any chance of Komodo supporting snit syntax? Well, it would have to first we'd have to first support it properly at the Tickle Dev Kit level, and the answer is yes, there is a chance, but what chance that's going to be is going to more be determined by what happens with 0.0 and 8.5, because we might just first spend the time to make sure that we have true, honest, good core 0.0 support, and then support that. And then, of course, if you're built on top of that, then you'll leverage some of that, and then it might actually be easier to build for the facets that people might build on top of that core O support.
I'd like to mention the Tickle tutorial.
Right, so if you go to the Tickle.tk site and you look at the man pages, there's also a link there for a Tickle tutorial. headed primarily by David Welton. And that is work to try and improve the tutorial stuff. At this point, it's mostly at the Tickle level. In fact, I think it's only at the Tickle level. So it is a really nice tutorial that goes into for new users and such, and even some tricky information that's in there for assisting users at the Tickle level. And we'd love to get the TK one updated there too. One thing that we're really looking to add to the current site is, it's the tickle.tk site, but your TK information there, aside from man pages, it's like non-existent. And that's actually true in a lot of the Tickle sites. We'd like to get basically individual screenshots of every widget and like what it would take to build those and have a little area that goes fully graphical. I mean, the problem is that all the documentation is always written in a text-based form that has no way to include images. So all the other stuff has been built off of that. We need to get something that makes heavy use of images for people to be really more aware of how easy TK is. Yeah?
Your expand syntax, you're just accepting two different versions?
Yes. In ActiveTickle, it'll take the...
two braces and say null. That would be rejected at this point.
If you use the empty braces and then empty braces?
Yeah,
that expands to empty, so that's actually legal. Mm-hmm. You can expand an empty list, right? If it were two sets of empty braces next to each other?
Yes.
That's legal.
How about if there's something other than unknown inside the first set of empty braces?
Then that would be an error. Yeah, it's expand or nothing in that first set of empty braces.
Because that kind of syntax might be useful for future things.
Exactly, and you could certainly put other things in there. My recommendation was, especially if you were to put a one inside those braces, that maybe that does list indexing or something like that, and maybe you could do list range stuff by saying one, making it at the list 1, 3 if you did that in braces, but. The argument that, well, that's why you call it expand, but I said, well, expand should be just the default behavior then. That's what the empty is for. So, yep.
You had mentioned, talking about lambdas, that there's several different tips. Is it likely that some form of lambda will be in 8.5? It's just a matter of which implementation, or is it still up to debate whether any will make it in?
There's three tips, and they all had interesting variations of caveats and problems they might introduce and compatibility issues. So the real question there is, I don't know. I think it would be a good idea to have it in there, but I have not personally been focusing on that, so I do not know how close any of those are to actual implementation, because sometimes the one who implements first wins. Or that kind of thing. Neil? That's a long discussion. I had a 3-hour tutorial yesterday and could barely glance on it. Themed widgets don't allow for certain specialized applications like a color selection button that you want to color that way, and maybe you just want that nice box of color that'll drop down some color select palette. That's not possible with the themed widgets. You would do that with a specialized button or a special handling widget that would be using the classic TK widgets. Yeah. At that end, across platforms, there just simply doesn't exist that kind of widget function. If you wanted a combo box is a larger construct, and it exists across platforms. But I guess color select specific buttons are never really entered into that commonality. So anything else? I think we're okay with time, and Donald should probably come up and